All this talk about low gas prices, but how's your rent? From New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. This morning, we'll get the latest index of leading economic indicators for July. The forecasters are expecting this to be up, but not nearly by as much as the month earlier. At least inflation is low, according to the latest consumer price index. But is it really? Let's welcome back from vacation Diane Swonk, the chief economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Thanks for joining us, Diane.
Good to be here.
You know, the government says there's not much inflation. That was one of the big stories yesterday. But I got to tell you, you got to live somewhere, and paying to live somewhere is not getting cheaper.
Exactly. In fact, rents are accelerating. They're running 3.1% above a year ago, when wages, average hourly earnings, are running about 2.1%. That means, you know, that rents are basically eating up a larger share of our stagnant wages. It means we've got less money to spend on discretionary purchases and to spend elsewhere in the economy, and it's going to be holding down inflation in other parts of the economy. Core inflation looks stable. It's stable because of major, this one component that sort of said it's been held up by rents. That's going to be a big issue for not only the Fed, I think the political election year campaign as well.
How do you think the Fed would process this notion that when you look at overall inflation, doesn't look bad, but that the shelter stuff is actually high?
The issue for the Fed will be, because the shelter stuff being high and us spending so much money on rents, it having a spillover effect on other prices that's lower, holding down inflation in those other areas. That's not something the Fed wants right now. Remember, inflation is our temperature of the economy. And instead of too cold, even just tepid is not good enough for the Fed. The Fed would like the economy running a little warm and a little hotter at this stage of the game.
Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial, thank you.
Thank you.
And on this issue of low gasoline prices, if you drive in and around Illinois and Indiana, gas prices are running close to $3.50 a gallon, up 70 cents in a week. There's a BP refinery in Whiting, Indiana, that's down for repairs. It's not clear when it's back. Now to the business of U.S. health, where palliative care is gaining popularity. The results of a study of this kind of care are published in today's edition of the New England Journal of Medicine. Driving some of this interest, palliative care might lower costs. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains.
Palliative care is for patients who are coping with the symptoms of a serious disease.
Difficulty breathing, pain from the tumor, nausea, and palliative care addresses those physical symptoms.
That's Dr. Sean Morrison. He's a professor of palliative medicine at Mount Sinai, who co-authored the study. He says only about 5% of patients have serious illnesses, but they're responsible for more than 50% of healthcare costs. He says patients getting palliative care are more involved in decisions and may avoid expensive end-of-life procedures. Don Taylor is a professor of public policy at Duke University. He says palliative care can keep patients out of emergency rooms, which should be avoided because
once you're into that system, you're likely to be hospitalized, and then most likely it's going to end up with something that's not only expensive, but is not really going to be a great experience for the patient.
Taylor says more research is needed to determine just how much money palliative care can save. He's conducting a study on that right now. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Elysian Fields Avenue in New Orleans crosses many social and economic lines, passing from high ground to low as well. During Hurricane Katrina, parts of it flooded, destroying homes and businesses. We're dropping in on business owners along one stretch of Elysian Fields, an area that took years to come back. Today, our Wealth and Poverty team spoke with Sammy Schlogel, a lifelong New Orleanian, with a place called Sammy's Deli that some say serves up some of the best sandwiches in that city.
I've been here since 1976. Our specialties are mainly po' boys, New Orleans food. Shrimp po' boys, hot sausage, roast beef, some Italian things, like on Tuesday we have meatballs, we'll have chicken parmesan. Main thing is boils down to is New Orleans food. We had 7 feet of water in here. It took us 2 years almost to the day to reopen the doors. We had two walk-in freezers and a walk-in cooler that was full of stuff when the hurricane came. And when they came to clean it out, was 6 weeks later or 8 weeks later. And they had to have a hazmat dumpster outside. And the people that were on the Bobcats had respirators on and came in here and just started gutting the place like that. And there was no person in here with a shovel or a hammer. It was with actual machines. That's how bad it was. And just totally got it down to the studs. And had to start all over again. I mean, from scratch. I couldn't wait to start again. I couldn't wait to get back in business. I mean, we were lost, my wife and I. I mean, this is what we know every single day to come here and do what we do. We were getting a lot of workers, contractors, people that were coming here to eat. Glows is right on the other side of my overpass. So about the last 10 months before we opened, my wife and I bought a concession trailer, parked it in the front of the building, and started selling sandwiches to the workers out of that while we were waiting for the building to finish. And that was the task, I'm going to tell you. In the hot summertime, it get to be over 120 degrees in there. And we'd go home and we'd literally wring out our socks. So, you know, my wife and I, once the workers go away, you know, what's going to happen? I'm like, well, we'll just see. I think we're going to be fine. You know, because there's always that doubt in your mind that, you know, I'm doing all this and maybe it won't come back like it was before. But it did work out and we were able to, you know, come back stronger.
Sammy Schlogel, he owns Sammy's Deli in New Orleans. Marketplace.org is where you can hear more of our New Orleans wealth and poverty coverage, including what it was like for Sammy's neighbors rebuilding after the storm. And at the car show in Frankfurt, Germany, the luxury brand Audi has unveiled an electric SUV to compete with the much-delayed Tesla X. The Audi Q6 e-tron is set for release in 2018, and it's supposed to go 310 miles on a single charge, at least using the European method for rating these things. This is impressive, and if you were on some kind of wonderful blues tour, it could get you from Chicago to St. Louis in just one shot. It does not quite get you from Los Angeles to San Francisco, but it almost gets you in one charge. To Modesto, which in my experience is almost as good. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.